Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny, I was, did any of you follow Pastor Craig's post on social media? I happened to be with a group, we were in Kenya, and he was texting with me, because last March I had gone to Nigeria. He wanted to know how many of those outfits I got when I was there. I got 5, I think he ended up with 10. So who knows, next time he's preaching Sunday, we may see him in one of them. Hallelujah. But we were having a good time texting back and forth. And how many of you know God's good everywhere around the world? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, you know, if you weren't here this morning, I really want to encourage you to get Pastor Bill's, our associate pastor, Bill Ray, get his message, listen to it. He talked about repentance and forgiveness and the power of that. And how many of you know we are forgiven? Glory to God. But you know, that's not the only thing Jesus did at the cross. It wasn't just forgiveness. There's something else that Jesus did at the cross that we don't talk about a whole lot, but I think in our day and time, it is necessary that we talk about that. And that is because so many people are bound. Christians, I'm talking about Christian folks, are bound by the painful emotions of shame. Shame is different than guilt. You know, guilt says I did something wrong. But shame says something's wrong with me. Shame speaks to our identity. Shame tells you you're unworthy. You're unclean. You're unwanted. You don't measure up. Something's wrong with you. Shame. And a lot of folks, you know, come to Christ. How do you know it doesn't matter how far down you are in the barrel? You could be under the barrel. The love of Christ can reach us. Amen. He reaches down to us. No matter what the weight of our sin is, it's forgiven. But also, we need to realize that Jesus has done something about that deep stain of shame. We want to talk about that tonight. You know, even after we receive forgiveness, it's still possible to live under the shadow of shame and disgrace. And when we do that, when people do that, it makes it very difficult for them to fully draw near to God, to have that relationship with God. But Jesus didn't just bear our sin, He bore our shame. And that's the title of my sermon tonight, Jesus Bore Our Shame. At Calvary, at the cross. You know, the cross was a place of humiliation. It was not something just to put someone to death. How many of you know the Romans could have just thrust a sword through Jesus and killed him? The cross was designed by them to humiliate and to shame. And we know God's not the author of evil, but I don't think it's any by chance, because the Bible says at the right time Jesus came and died for God. He knew the death that Jesus would bear, that would take. He knew Jesus would suffer shame and humiliation. He experienced the full weight of it, not just emotionally, but socially. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, I want to read that. I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible. Now, if you know me at all, you know I take a few these and thous out, if that's all right. I'm going to do it whether you give me permission or not, but just wanted to let you know. I've had people, where can I buy a Bible like that? You can't. It's a King James Bible, but I think I've told you the story. I led a youth group for 3 years after I graduated from here at Raymond, and notice I didn't say I was a youth pastor. No, I led the youth group, and I found out those teenagers don't speak King James English. I thought, well, what's wrong with them? Brother Hagin even prayed King James prayers. I mean, it sounded like, you know, he prophesied in King James English. These teenagers don't understand a word I'm reading. So I had to learn how to do it on the fly. All right, verse 2, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus. Boy, isn't that good advice? That's a good thing right there, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame. He didn't try to get freedom from the shame. He didn't try to go around it. He just despised what it is. In other words, he didn't give the shame more credit than what God had called him to do and told him to do. He despised it, but he bore that shame. He bore it for us. That, again, that feeling of shame that says you're not worthy, that you're unclean, that you're unwanted. Guilt is something we did, but you know, shame can come not only from what we did, but also what others did to you or what others said to you. But I got good news tonight. Hallelujah. We don't have to be under the burden of shame. Jesus did something about it. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Shame entered into the human experience because of sin. Let's look here in Genesis chapter 2. And really, you know, it's interesting that shame, condemnation, dishonor. The opposite of shame would be honor. Honor is something that's valuable. To be shamed is to be made, told you're not valuable at all. And isn't that, if you think about it, isn't that the tactic of the devil? To tell you you don't measure up, right? And then also, you know, the devil likes to get us into a works earn it mentality. How many of you know the grace of God can't be earned? Salvation can't be earned because salvation is by grace. It's received through faith, but you can't earn it. You know, sometimes people say, I don't know what's wrong. I've been reading the Bible. I've been praying. I've been quoting the word. I've been, you know, doing this. I've been doing that. You just told me why you haven't received, because you're thinking you're earning it. Now, should we read the Bible? Yes. Should we pray? Yes. But we don't ever want to get to the place where we think because of what we're doing, we're earning anything from God. Because Jesus already bought and paid for it. Here in Genesis chapter 2, look there at the last verse of that chapter, verse 25. Talking about Adam and his wife. Adam and Eve, he named her Eve. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Not ashamed. You know, God did not create man to be ruled by our emotions and to be under the burden of shame. In fact, I didn't give it to him there, but you know, Psalm 8 talks about that God crowned man with glory and honor. Honor is the opposite of shame. God crowned us with glory and made us honorable. Honorable. What's that mean? That means that you are worth something to God. You're valuable. And you know, you may think no one else values me at all, but you know what? I'd rather have God value me than any other value anybody on this earth could ever give me. Because it's his opinion of me that matters. Right? We gain our identity from him. Not by those around us. Thank God for, you know, I know naturally we have families, naturally all those things, and we are spiritual beings, but we live in a natural world, and we have to take care of those things. And yes, we should give honor to whom honor's due. We should be honorable towards our family and those type of things. But yet, it's what God values that's the most important. And it says that they were not ashamed. They lived in pure innocence, open, vulnerable, unashamed. See, shame causes a person to be closed off. They hide a lot. They hide. You know, unfortunately, one of the things about having, you know, as many people are here on a Sunday morning, not so much Sunday night, but you know, Sunday morning, you can come to church, you could hide. You could come to service, you could run out before the pastors get to the door. You could not talk to anybody. You could come. You've done your quote-unquote Christian duty. You attended church, but you hid from everybody. One of the leading causes of that is shame. Amen. Well, now, brother, I'm an introvert. Well, first of all, quit naming yourself. just because you took some test and they told you you were an introvert. I take all those tests. I'm an introvert. Just depends on what situation I'm in, though. And when I take all those tests, because, you know, just to be quite honest with everybody, I'd be very happy being by myself pretty much all day long. Yeah, I like me. Amen. But I can't let that define me. I need to be whatever God needs me to be, to whomever God needs me to be it. Glory to God. There in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 7, says, the eyes of them both, this is after they had disobeyed God, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. See, shame causes people to hide from God, hide from others, and really even hide from yourself. It makes us cover up, pretend. You know, Christianity is not, and faith is not, fake it till you make it. I've heard a lot of people, they say, well, that faith stuff, that's just fake it till you make it. No. If you're faking it, you're not going to make it. Faith is reality. Faith is trusting in a loving God to do what he said he would do. It's built on a relationship. But you know this, if you're operating under that pain of shame, you won't spend that time with God that's needed to find out what God really thinks of you. Well, I've heard all that, brother. But yet you choose. Now, some folks, again, you know, we tend to hold on to what we identify with. Just smile. Nobody knows I'm talking about you. Some folks embrace their shame. That's who they are. Well, my parents did this, or I had a school teacher too. My friend, I was this, I was that. You know, you were that, but God. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. See that people feel guilty. Shame causes us to feel broken, disqualified, and even unworthy of love and acceptance. You know, sometimes in dealing with relationship issues, if you've got somebody in that relationship, and sometimes it's both, but sometimes because of whatever the case is, they're under that pain of shame, then they don't know how to receive love from their spouse. And then, have you ever noticed that it seems like that negative things attract other negative things? That shame attracts that. But thank God that's not the end of the story. There in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf. Jesus bore our shame on the cross. Now here, again, it's important that we understand this. Jesus didn't just suffer physical pain. He suffered the emotional and public shame of a crucifixion. The cross was not only a... And here too, you know, we've talked about the cross so much that we've made it an emblem of you know, something that, and we forget how horrible it was. We forget that it was designed to totally humiliate someone and kill them in a way that you would kill an animal and degrade them to such a place. You remember the Bible says concerning Jesus that he was so scarred, you really couldn't even tell he was a man. He was beaten so bad. He bore our emotional and public shame. Jesus was, look at Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at a couple verses there concerning his crucifixion. Now again, remember, he didn't do this because he needed it. He did it because we needed it. There in Matthew 27, look at verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. They stripped him. What does that mean? He took off his clothes. They stripped him naked, folks. Not somewhere in a private room, out in public. They stripped him. Drop down to verse 30. They spit on him. Took a reed and smote him on the head. They were mocking him. The verse before that says, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him and mocked him. They hit him. We won't turn over there, but in Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 39, they called him a liar. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a criminal. Denying who he was, not recognizing who he is. How many of you know not everybody's going to recognize you for who you really are? But that's okay. Jesus bore that pain for you. He bore that shame for you. That's why we have to get to the place where we're not concerned if anybody ever recognizes. We're not concerned if anybody ever pats us on the back. We're not concerned about that because we know who we are in Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 53. This best describes Isaiah looking forward to the cross. What happened there that Jesus bore our shame. I'm telling you, tonight's a night to come out of the shadows. Quit hiding. Come into the light. Let him have your shame. He bore it for you. But how many of you know if I carry it, he can't have it? I've got it. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, I want to go back. I'm asking to put that back up on the screen, but I'm gonna change this and I'm gonna read it personal, okay? "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I hid my face, as it were, from him. He was despised and I esteemed him not. Surely he has borne my grief and carried my sorrows. Yet I esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed." Well, that's every one of you could read that exactly the same way. That applies to every person who's ever breathed the breath of God's air on this earth. Now, not everyone has received it. We understand that. But Jesus did it for everybody. But you know, you think about this world system and the devil wants you to live in shame. In fact, the very first temptation, he told Eve, and she was deceived, the Bible said. Adam wasn't. He knew exactly he was disobeying God. But Eve was deceived into thinking she'd be like God. But he's really shaming her for not knowing the difference between good and evil. Because God, you should know this, because God knows if you know this, you'll be like him. But notice, remember what we read there? What did they do immediately? They hid themselves. They hid themselves. I think the greatest effect of shame is that we hide ourselves from our answer. We hide ourselves from God. We hide ourselves from God's people. We hide ourselves from our family who love us unconditionally. We're all, shame causes us to be, not suspect, but we suspect everybody has ulterior motives, you know. We don't trust anybody. Because we have that pain there, but we don't have to. You know, Jesus bore all those things. He didn't deserve any of it, but he chose to endure it. Why? So you and I could live free from the weight of shame. Free. I'm not talking about putting up with a little. I'm talking about totally free from it. There was a great exchange that took place. For our shame, we received God's honor back. Look at Isaiah chapter 61 there. Isaiah 61. Verse 7 says, "For your shame you shall have double. For your confusion they rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be upon them." What's that? God honoring us with double. See, there was a great and divine exchange that took place at the cross. Jesus took my shame, Jesus took our shame and gave us his righteousness. He took our disgrace and gave us dignity. He took our rejection and made us accepted in the beloved. One person in talking about there in Psalm 8, I mentioned it to you, that he's crowned. What is man that you're mindful of? And what is this man that you've made him a little lower? And it's really an Elohim, made him basically in your class. He's not you, God, but you made him just like you. And you crowned him with glory and honor. One person who's Hebrew word scholar said what he's really saying is he crowned mankind with dignity and worth. But man lost that in the garden, lost that when he disobeyed God. But through Jesus Christ, your dignity, your worth, your righteousness, your honor that comes from God has been restored by what Jesus did at the cross. Glory to God. I love Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says this. Let me turn over. I want to read the full verse. For the scripture says, "Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, shall not be disgraced, shall not be dishonored." Amen. You know, the world thinks, and you know, certain so-called atheists, it's interesting to read some of the last statements of atheists as they leave this life. How some of them talk about how they were wrong, because now they're encountering something else they didn't expect to encounter. But many of them have said, you know, religion is the opium of the people. It's a drug for the weak. Only the uneducated need Christianity. Da 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 da. All that, all those things. But it is the only thing. The only thing that will deliver us from the power and the pain of shame. And we will not be ashamed. Yeah, but I've done this and I've done that and it just doesn't seem like. Yeah, the problem is it doesn't seem like. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Why, we look not at things which are seen, but things which are unseen. For things which are seen are temporary, but things which are unseen are eternal. I don't know how many times I've made my plans and worked and worked and worked and got frustrated and tried to make them happen, make them come to pass, just to find out that something that looked like it wouldn't work out at all was God's plan all along. And when you get doing what God told you to do, it's a free life. Amen? Glory to God. Shame no longer has a place in the life of the believer. Listen to this now. We are not what we've done or what's been done to us. We are who He says we are. Now, we all have limitations naturally. You know, all of us have different giftings and talents and those type of things. Yes, we understand that. I'm not talking about those things. But we don't let any, we shouldn't let any, anything that's ever been said to us define us other than what's said to us from the Word of God. I'm not what I've done. I'm not what's been done to me. I'm what Jesus has done for me. And what God says I am. Ephesians 1:6, as I mentioned, says we are accepted in the Beloved. Don't turn back there, but back in Isaiah 61:10, it says, He has clothed us with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Aren't you glad? Glory to God. We're not naked and ashamed. We're clothed and honored. God gave us His clothes. He gave us His wardrobe to wear. Amen. Now I realize that some folks have carried shame for years. Shame because you made a mistake. You were rejected. Somebody did something to you. And as I mentioned, Jesus didn't just die for what you did. He died for what was done to you. And said to you. He bore that at the cross. That humility. He bore the shame of abuse. He bore the shame of rejection. He bore the shame of failure. And He left it in the grave. And when He rose, He was victorious over every bit of it. So I want to challenge you, stop hiding. Stop disqualifying yourself. Don't ever let anybody tell you or convince you that God's ashamed of you. He's not. He sees you clothed in righteousness. He sees you as accepted. He sees you through the lens of the cross. That's why in Hebrews 4:16 it invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. He didn't say come crawling in, come embarrassed, come ashamed of who you are, come boldly, because Jesus bore it all. He made a way for us to enter into the heavenly holy of holies by a new and living way, by the way of the blood. We have access. So returning to where we started there in Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says there for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. The joy of obedience to God. Yes, that's part of it. But then also, the joy of the freedom that we would walk in. Jesus looked at the shame. He looked at the cross. He looked at that agony and He said, "It's worth it for you." And I realize this is, you know, one of those statements that sounds cool because it rhymes, but it is true. He bore my shame so I could bear His name. At the cross, shame was nailed. At the resurrection, honor was restored. And now we as the children of God are free to walk in dignity, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done. Now, I want to do something tonight that I think is just very bold and just, I think it's time for you, if you've been doing this, to grab a corn stalk swing that over hell and spit in the devil's eye. There's something about taking a step. And I'm going to ask you, because I know, because shame wants to make you hide. It wants to make you, but you don't realize all of us sit here look pretty right now. All of us, I'm not picking on Brian, but I don't even know where he went, but I'm the head usher on Sunday night. I gotta. But this affects everybody. Can affect everybody. Doesn't have to, but it can. I'm gonna ask. I don't normally do stuff like this, but as I was praying about this and just looking at it, I saw us doing this. So this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna ask you to take a step of faith and walk out of the darkness of shame into the light of freedom. And the way I want to ask you to do that, I just want you to get up from your seat. I want you to come right down here. We're not going to lay hands on you. We're not going to have any confession time. You're just taking a step of faith. You're coming right down here, and you're just saying, I'm not living and hiding any longer. Jesus has set me free. He set me free. Hallelujah. He set me free. Hallelujah. Don't come down here and be sad. Come down here and be glad. Freedom. Freedom, glory to God. Freedom from the pain of shame. Freedom, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what's been done, what you did, what someone else did, what you said, what someone else said. Tonight is a night to receive what Jesus has done for us. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom from shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the honor and the glory restored to each one that you bought and paid for. Thank you, Father, by the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed from our sins. But by your sacrifice, we're also free from shame. You've redeemed us. You bore our shame for us. And what you carry, we need not carry. When you rose again, you rose in dignity. You rose in honor. You rose in righteousness. And you gave that to us. Thank you, Father, for each one of these. Everybody in the congregation, just stand with them. Just stand right where you are. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out toward them right now. Just pray for them. Father, we just thank you right now as your power, your freeing power is moving across these that have come. They've stepped out of the shadow of shame, and they're walking in the light of freedom. The light of freedom. No longer defined by what someone else said. No longer defined by what their past said. No longer defined by that pain. But free in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. 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 I wish somebody who's free would shout in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. Freedom from shame. Lord, we give you praise and honor in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know some of you think you threw everything away. You did something and you threw that away. You threw the plan of God away. You threw the calling of God away. You threw everything, your chance away. But I'm here to tell you tonight's a new night. Tonight's a night of restoration for you. Tonight's a night of freedom for you. God's not done with you yet. He's got a great plan for your life. And he said it's a good plan. And he knew you were going to mess it all up. But he still has a good plan for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now you know this. You know this. Those old feelings of shame, those old things are going to try to come back on you. Those old thoughts. But instead of letting those things be the aggressor on you, you be the aggressive one on them. Amen? Even when you know it's going to try to come. So start now. Just start telling it now. Shame, you're not allowed in my life any longer. You're not allowed. I'm not going to feel the pain. I'm not going to give in to that. Hallelujah. I'm not unloved. I'm not unwanted. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Glory to God. Well, one more time, shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory to God. No more shame. When I walk and I speak in that name, every demon has to bow. Every pain has to go. For he bore my pains and carried my sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and the chastisement of my peace is upon him. And so I live in him, and he lives in me. And the greater one, greater than any shame, greater than any pain, is on the inside. The mighty Holy Ghost is here to live and abide. Come by my side. Put me over. Help me. Even when I don't know how to pray as I ought. The Spirit makes intercession in a language I don't even know. And therefore I know that all things work together for my good. Because of his love and my love for him. And because I'm called according to his purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. That just came up out of my spirit. And I've noticed that when you allow that flow to happen, you're not thinking about it. You can't. I mean, your mind just, there's nothing. Just let God minister to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat. I'm going to ask all of you out there, give them a big hand clap and a praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go back to your seat. Our prayer team's going to come down. We're going to close out the service right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't God good? Amen. Well, if you need prayer for any other thing tonight, our prayer team's coming. The men are over here. Our ladies are over here. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God, because we know that's where our help comes from God's Word. Aren't you glad? Amen. They're going to pray with you that way. Anything Wednesday night, hour of power, be here. Tell somebody you love them before you leave tonight. God bless you. We are dismissed.